You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
A BYU football legend.
In my tenure, what I believe was supposed to happen was complete alignment with our faith through football.
Welcome to Conference Saturday Night. For the next 30 minutes, we hear an exclusive interview between Sherry Dew, a top executive for KSL's parent company, and former BYU head coach Bronco Mendenhall. An excerpt from the Church News podcast on KSL News Radio.
This is Sarah Jane Weaver, executive editor of the Church News, welcoming you to this special Church News KSL News Radio conference documentary on faith, family, and football, which is an abbreviation of a previous Church News podcast featuring Bronco Mendenhall, the former football coach at Brigham Young University and the University of Virginia, and his wife, Holly Mendenhall. They are interviewed by Sherry Dew, Executive Vice President of Deseret Management Corp. and a former member of the Relief Society General Presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mendenhalls talk about their decision to leave the University of Virginia, the things that matter most to them, and what is next for their family.
Fabulous. Now, we're sitting here with you in your home in Montana. We've had the chance this morning to be over on your Montana ranch, see you on horseback, even a few others of us on horseback.
Which was the best part.
Which was the scariest part. Why Montana? What brought you to Montana?
It's where I'm from. I'm a very proud Montanan. I've always loved my roots, no matter where we've gone. When people say, where are you from? I always say, well, I'm from Montana, but I live in New Mexico. I'm from Montana, but I live in... Yeah. But Bronco has said, why do you always say that? And I would say, because I'm really proud of my roots. I'm really proud to be from Montana. And so I always said, I'll go with you wherever you want, but I always want to have roots for the boys in Montana.
When I proposed to Holly, I'd just been fired at Oregon State University. And so I propose to Holly. She says yes to an unemployed football coach. I promised Holly we would have a place in Montana at some point. And so now after 32 years of coaching, 26 years of marriage, we now have a permanent place in Montana.
You've made good. You've made good on it. We, again, loved seeing your ranch, your animals, horses, beautiful horses. And I know that horses have played a role in actually your football coaching, especially when you were a coach at the University of Virginia. Will you just talk to us about how you use that ranch? Starting with, let's talk about the horses and the role they played.
Sure. From the horse perspective, like in the world of college athletics, you're looking to be distinct and different. You can compete on differentiation. You can compete by being different in some way. And there's so many things that are similar. But we were trying to consider how best to distinguish ourselves. Along the way, though, what we found is the horses ended up being fantastic in helping us assess and select and determine what people to bring. And over time, we realized that if I brought out players two at a time and gave them riding lessons in my arena, family on one side of the fence, players on the other, just me and them, and most of them had never seen a horse, let alone ridden one, but I could see how they approached doing something new. I could see the family dynamic as they, some would huddle before their son in, some would just say, well, there you go. And I could get a real clear idea of what the family dynamic looked like, how a young person would take on a new challenge, and then if they would listen, if they would learn, and if they would engage, if they would help their teammate or potential teammate who was riding. So in the arena for maybe a half hour, another half hour around the 30 acres, and by the end of that hour, I had a great idea if that was someone I wanted to be with every single day, and I wasn't going to bring them if it wasn't. And so the transparency of watching the subtle things that players did, and when they would step off, there'd be some that would lead the horse to me, and what can I do, and can I brush him down, and does he like to be scratched or patted, and others would just drop the reins, and they were done.
Small. There were some kids that really didn't want to get on.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, I'm not getting on.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, then you're not coming. They really needed to, you know, it was outside of their
they
comfort zone. Yeah.
And be willing to do hard things. And college football is hard. Life is hard. New things are a challenge. And so if they weren't willing to engage in a new thing, then that wasn't okay, and they weren't aligned with the direction. And anyway, the success that we had at Virginia had a lot to do with the people. The horses helped us select the people.
Okay, let's go back to BYU. at the end of that decade at BYU, what did you know at the end of 10 years at BYU that you didn't know at the beginning?
We loved our time at BYU. When he became head coach, I think it was a learning curve for both of us. It was just like, wow, what is this all about? You know?
One of the biggest challenges at the beginning is I had never been a head coach before. And that's...
it's a leap, right?
Yeah, being a CEO. And what I learned is if you weren't really clearly certain on the principles you were going to lead by, others would define that for you. But along the way, and because of the institution, right? So Brigham Young University is the only institution that's owned and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that plays football. There's only one on planet Earth. And I was the head coach of that place. And as part of the process to be selected, that's a general authority interview. In my case, President Eyring. And my interview question from him was to share my testimony. Like, that was qualifying me to be the football coach. In my tenure, what I believed was supposed to happen was complete alignment with our faith through football. I thought that football was so visible. And at one time, the missionaries and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir were both ranked ahead of us. And I was like, I want to be number one. I want the football program to be the most impactful, maybe missionary tool for the church. And so I don't think many coaches think about that in terms of what I learned, how to do that. But it came with experience. I felt like what we were doing added value. And our boys, in a letter, they said, we always felt like we were part of something special. I think it helped shape their testimony. What better reason to have a football team?
I'm wondering what else you saw about what these football players and the football program did that actually reflected beautifully upon not only BYU, but its owner, the church.
I think one of the things that we started was Thursday's Heroes. That was the program that was designed to, you know, have heroes every Thursday. And that was really impactful to me to see how the players got involved with that. And they did that at Virginia as well. That's a very impactful program. And to watch the players serve and kind of get outside of themselves, you know, football's pretty entitled. These kids are coddled and it was really good to get them in service. And so much of our faith is around service. You can see a lot of growth, and that was really fun.
But seeing who these kids became or what they continued after in the service orientation when their football eligibility was done, there's a reason to play college football, right? Without that, it's just entertainment. And that's not enough. And at BYU, it has to be more than that. Faith has to be right in the middle of it. The school's owned and operated by the church, right? And service is core to our belief, and that has to be woven in. And if those things don't last, right, if the faith doesn't last, if the service doesn't last, what are we doing? And to me, football had to be a way to drive those messages home while winning championships.
And even at Virginia, where it wasn't a faith-based institution, mm-hmm. you could see the service in these young people come in and just getting them outside of their little bubble, you know, mm-hmm. to serve others. And so it wasn't... didn't always have to be faith-based, you know?
And the BYU was faith-centered. UVA was educationally focused. But still, here's service, right? And here are elements that cross over, that last and sustain and build society. We just happen to be doing it as a football team.
So let's build on that. You've said before that you don't know any better way to build young men than through college football.
I think the easy answer to that is the scope and scale and attention that college football receives. It's so wildly popular, and it's so visible. And the following is so vast.
And rabid.
And rabid, right? Mm-hmm. And people really care about that. And so, with all that in place...
sometimes we care too much.
if possible. And it's really interesting for a head coach to be saying to build in other things other than caring more. And I care a lot as well, and no one likes to win more than I do or as much. However, that and that alone isn't enough. And if that's all that happens, I don't think the true development or the comprehensive development happens at formative stages of a life where it's so easy to be migrated and your identity as a coach or a player to only be defined by football. We were trying to be ahead of that in helping these kids determine who they were in addition to football coach, football player. Okay, we would say, and... okay, you're a football player. And what else?
The Church News Weekly Podcast invites listeners to make a journey of connection with members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Download episodes today at thechurchnews.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cougar fans know KSL News Radio is an important connection to neighborhoods and the world around us. For news, traffic, and weather on Monday morning, tell Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
When you stepped away from your head coaching role at the University of Virginia, it surprised a lot of people. I remember, I was telling you, I literally remember where I was when I heard it. I thought, whoa. Really?
And surprised me too.
Yeah.
It's true.
So can you talk to us about why you made that decision?
I can try. I've had a hard time articulating it when I'm asked, but it was clear to me change was needed. And not only change.
Is that a mental procedure or a spiritual impression? Or is that too personal a question?
No, I think it was both. So I think there's a practical component, and I think there's a spiritual component. And I had been at Virginia for 6 years, and wow, was it.
Huge progress.
Mm-hmm. It was transformative, the impact that the players and the community had on me, and hopefully reciprocated. And I love unbroken growth, and I love opportunities, and I was craving an increased commitment from the institution toward football and to allow it to keep growing. I was also seeing internally a restlessness of who am I really in addition to football. And I've been preaching that, and I've been espousing that, but who am I really? And I thought I knew. But now after a year, I'm realizing that I didn't have as clear of an idea. And I'm so thankful that I've had some time to solidify that term coach. Well, does that take up a lot of my identity, what I've realized? And what else is left? There was some, but not as much as I wanted of other things, which is what I've been telling the players. And so all of that, in addition to developing and having a place in Montana where I promised Holly we would, and kind of pausing to consider what does chapter two of our lives really look like. And that clarity has come with some distance as to now what we really do. And we are football coaches. And I say we because, as you've seen the way we live, Holly does everything else while I'm trying to lead these young people. And that confirmation has come with distance and clarity, where the landscape of college football is changing. And if you're going to do this job, you better be really clear of, is it what you want to do and how come? And so we're much more clear. I am much more clear, yes, that we want to and how come.
You know, sometimes when you're in a storm, you can't really see out of the storm. You're just trying to survive the storm. And I think sometimes with football, it's so encompassing. And so this last
intense
year and a half, has kind of allowed Bronco to step back and really look at the sport differently.
I've heard a couple of your sons told us yesterday, my mom and dad are the best companionship I know. And then your other son chimed in and said, that's right. How have you built that companionship?
Well, it takes work. You know, it takes work and it takes sacrifice. I wanted to be more with our boys. I knew that time was fleeting with them. And so I think it's been give and take for both of us. Yeah, it's just a partnership. We just do different things and we blend them together.
And when we're bugged with each other, we just consider ourselves normal. You know, it's just this idea that you're not ever going to be. Come on. And why pretend?
That's hard.
That's how it works. You just keep going. And
no one's perfect.
Exactly.
There's no perfect.
And we laugh at each other. And what was really fun, going back to the boys being raised, there's no way that my job was more important than the kids' activities. We felt strongly about that. And the kids and Holly in their own team supporting me and vice versa was allowing them to grow. And there's times where, one side sacrifices for the other.
to go on unified, but there's other times we're actually going to make up more ground, dividing and conquering, and then coming back together. But that's part of this marital relationship. You define them, and your own norms become your own way of doing it becomes your own way. It's not our parents' way. It's not our neighbor's way. It's our way.
So I think that the church, if you're really converted to your faith, I think the church is just who you are. It's part of who you are, and it overflows in all that you do. And your service projects and how you are with your ministering, your job, it just is part of your being. It's just everything.
It's the same for me. There's not a decision that I make or that we make that doesn't start with our beliefs. And our beliefs then guide the principles, and our principles guide our choices, right? Our choices guide our actions, and you pull that thread, it's back to our beliefs. And it is the foundation of every decision we make. And this idea of you're a member of the church, and then if you were to say and after, there is no and. No, I'm a member of the church. I'm work as hard as I can to be a disciple of Christ. I do all I can imperfectly to follow our Savior's teachings. I do everything I know how to do.
We're not just members on Sundays.
And back to your question of pausing my career at Virginia, I was feeling a little too tilted toward football as everything. And it's not. Is it important? Yes. Are outcomes important? Yes. But things like this is the foundational part of why we're on the planet. And that has to be anchored in a way that clearly is first. And if you're not careful, your profession can creep into that and maybe feel more important. So from the very beginning of our testimonies to them growing, which we think they have to keep growing, modeling that's been important to us, but every decision is based on our testimony and our beliefs.
Thank you. You've been so generous and so transparent and so warm. Thanks for sharing your journey with us.
We love you, Sherry.
It's our pleasure.
You have been listening to a special Church News KSL News Radio conference documentary on faith, family, and football, featuring Bronco Mendenhall, the former football coach of Brigham Young University and the University of Virginia, and his wife, Holly Mendenhall. They were joined by host Sherry Dew, Executive Vice President of Deseret Management Corp. and a former member of the Relief Society General Presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To hear the complete Church News podcast of this interview, visit thechurchnews.com/podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.